My name is Bert, and I have a gorgeous wife, and I met her on the steps of the Methodist Church many, many, many years ago when I was just over 21, and we excited about Jesus. We love Jesus. We were missionaries in England, South Africa, the Netherlands, pioneered some churches, and have been working with different organizations. And since September last year, we have arrived in the center of the universe, called Prudhoe. Amen. And it was so beautiful. When we're praying about it, you can imagine, when you know and love Jesus, and you've done things for Him, with Him, through Him, by Him, if you want to make a move, you want a word from God. You cannot move geographically without a word from God. And we needed that word from God. And it was beautiful. We came for another situation to Wall's End, and my wife had a vision of the river, and it looks all right, and it was okay. And then it didn't go through, and my wife couldn't understand, I couldn't understand. And then I had an email from Pastor Stewart, who was here last week. Pastor Stewart, he was here last week. And he was the pastor of the Prudhoe Community Church, also called The Gate. And he just asked me to consider. And as I read that email, the Holy Spirit said to me, I love this church. And I knew a connection was made on the earth and in the heavens. Amen? Amen. And I love it when something happens on the earth that is connected by heaven itself. And this afternoon, I want to talk a little bit about the great potential and power in your heart. The great potential and power in your heart. I made a note here because I think some of you know Pastor Harrison from Bethlehem. And I just want you to know, we know him as well. He came to preach for us in Lancashire. And when he came to preach for us in Lancashire, which must have been the late 80s, he had an experience with God, how he had been very almost black and white thinking person, but he felt God had called him to build relationships in a church and to think about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit being a unified, always cooperating, always loving family. And I never forget that, because that at that time was his main theme. He was ministering the fullness of God, not just this one, no, God the Father and all that goes with it, and God the Son and all that goes with it, and God the Holy Spirit. So he blessed us in those days much, very much. And then in about 94, an amazing thing happened. We were in the Netherlands, and there was this magazine coming around. I'm sure it was called Joy, or Redemption Tidings, or one of the two, or both. And it was telling us about the outpouring of the Spirit in Toronto. But it was also saying in Sunderland. And this is the truth. I was reading this in the Netherlands like this, like a good Dutchman does, quietly and concisely and precisely. And I started to shake like this. And I couldn't, this was ridiculous. I mean, why would you sit like that in your lounge? And I said to my wife, well, we have to go to Toronto. She says, well, we can't afford that. So, okay, well, if we can't go to Toronto, we go to Sunderland. And we went to Sunderland, and I think it was 93, 94. Drove via the sea, through the snow, and it was February, it was icy cold. And lo and behold, Brother Harrison and Mary were there. And, of course, Ken God and his wife, and they ministered to us. We were there for 3 days, and we were swept and pepped and shaken and quaking. We did all the things we had to do. I don't know why I don't do it anymore, but anyway, we used to, didn't we? We did all the shaking and quaking, felt much better for it. And then, the beautiful thing was, Herbert and his wife Mary invited us for tea. And they took us to their new house. I'm sure he was a retired, but he took us to a lovely little house, and they spoiled us totally and completely. So much so that we couldn't move afterwards. We had friends with us, and I'm sharing this with you for a purpose. Again, I felt that this precious man of God had moved further. There was no standing still. He had been the evangelist, the pastor, and relationships, and the teacher, and the elder statesman, as it were. But then so many years later, his wife and I had been praying, and I felt they hadn't been hospitable enough. And so they invited me, as I came from the Netherlands, to have tea with them. And they shared with us. And he didn't have to do that. He must have been about 75 by that time. I'm not sure. But it was love. It was a growing on, a moving on. No standing still. And it encouraged me to know that in God, no matter your age, but you can set your own stage by saying, I'm going to move forward with God. No standing still in my growing up. Amen? Don't blow up, but grow up. Tell your neighbor, don't blow up, but grow up. Amen. Now, I'm going to share with you the great potential that the Lord Jesus has put in your spirit man. The day you got born again, the day you gave your heart to Jesus, we know that Christ, the hope of glory, took his residence within us. And he tells us to remain in him as we abide in the word. The word abides in me, and I abide in him. And we are Christians, or Christ in us. He is the one who is within an earthen vessel, the glory within. And though the outward may perish, the inward gets renewed day by day, stronger and mightier. And the glory of God is on the inside of you. Amen. Yes. You all look at me, you're not sure about that. The glory of God is on the inside of you. It is Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. Now, I want to share a scripture, and when I first read it, I'll be very honest with you, I thought, oh, I don't want to preach on that. Have you ever had a scripture like that? Yeah, oh, forget that, I'm not preaching that. You like that, or you don't? Well, I read that scripture, I don't want to preach about that. And but I read it again, and then I shared with my wife, and she didn't say it, but I could feel her thinking, you don't want to preach on that. But I'm still going to do it. Amen. So here we go. Are you ready? Fasten your seat belts. God loves you. Amen. We're going to go on a 23-minute glory trip. Amen. And then we stop. Okay. There we go. So, oh, before I go on, I must just tell you, I've got 5 gorgeous children. Oh, I'm such a fortunate man. I have. I got 4 daughters and a son, and they're wonderful. And I've got 4 grandchildren. I know I only look 21, but I got 4 grandchildren, and they are super duper lovely. Amen. So I'm very blessed. I'm a very blessed man. Okay, I'm going to go to the book of Mark, and I'm going to go to chapter 11, and we're going to read from 12 to 25. And we see there 3-4 stories all in a row. We know the story, it's the victory that with it, Jesus cleanses the temple, and then Jesus talks about the lesson of the withered fig tree, and then immediately after, he talks about forgiveness and prayer. And I just want to talk about that, because I want you to think for a moment that God gave you a great potential to be a blessing. He said to Abram, in blessing, you will be a blessing. And the Bible says that you have received of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just the good news that you bring, which you must bring, which is wonderful, but it's more that you have the power to pray, the power to declare, the power to bind and loose. And this is so beautiful, and I'm starting to enjoy this now, don't tell anybody, but when you're not so good anymore in the gym, when it slows down a bit, when you can't run so fast anymore as you would like to, or you're thinking you should rather have a bungalow than a 3-story house for reasons best known to yourself, although the outward perishes, the inward is renewed by the glory of God. And I'm here to tell you that Christ Jesus is calling you and me to pray for Great Britain. If we don't pray for Great Britain, we are in desperate trouble. The grace of God needs to come to this country. The mercies of God need to flow. And little pockets have started. Little fires are happening. And this is one of them. Hallelujah. But you and I are called to pray. And so I'm preaching today with a selfish purpose. The purpose being that I may call you to pray. Because when you pray and I pray, something will change. something will change. And we already see the sparks of fire. We've already had things. It's not brand new to us. We know this church or this one or that one. And that's wonderful. But the fire has to continue. And so when you realize your potential, and when you realize that God has placed it in you, that ability to change the things around you, that ability to move mountains, that ability to drive back the dark forces of the devil, not by your own strength, but by the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That blood that he shed for your sins and my sins. The Lord Jesus, who had that cruel cross and had the suffering and the pain, that the Bible says that God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only son, that we may believe on him. And this veil that's over the eyes of the people in Great Britain, this darkness that some people still live in, it can be moved by the prayers of the saints. It can be moved by the prayers of granddad and grandma. It can be moved by the prayers for your sons and daughters and your children. Because you may have a child or a granddaughter and it doesn't look they're following Jesus. I'm here to tell you it's going to change. Because you and I are going to pray, and the releasing power of God within you is going to be released, and God is going to answer your prayers. The Bible says, ask and receive. Knock and it shall be opened. It says, and I've forgotten the third one. Seek. There you are. I should have done it. Ask, seek, knock. Because then you have ask, don't you? Ask, seek, knock. Seek that you may find. And it's a continuous word. We all know that. It's a continuous word. And though you start to ask, and though you start to seek, and though you start to knock, things don't seem to go so easy. And you get a little bit enlightened because you know that Jesus loves you, but that actually thing you were asking for is not happening. I'm here to tell you, don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up. For your daughter, for your son, for that ailment, and then for the community around us. Those houses around here, they have precious people. People with boys and girls, men and women. Some are divorced. Some have a drinking problem. Some, they have no problem at all. That's even worse, because they think they're fine. You know, they think they're fine. But God loves them. And you've been placed here to let your light shine. Amen. So, hallelujah. Let me read for you Mark 11, and I read from verse 12. So the next day, and it's quite a strange scripture, I think. He'd been in Bethany the day before, or he went to Bethany rather, the next day. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response to that situation, Jesus said, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." Immediately after, so they came to Jerusalem, because I think Jesus had a bad day. So they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares to the temple. He must have just stopped them. Then he thought, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" And the scribes and the chief priests heard and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now that was all on one day. A bad experience. He was hungry. Don't know about you. If I'm hungry, I get a bit moody. My wife knows. She just gets me to food straight away. Said, "No, don't eat. You're too moody now. Have your chicken and be quiet." But Jesus, of course, he never sinned. So we can't even say this, Jesus had a bad day, because Jesus is the Son of God. He never sinned. But sometimes you read and you think, "Oh my Lord, what actually happened?" And then it goes on, and I come back to it in a moment. So now the next morning, he done the temple, had a bad day there, throw them all out, and now it is in chapter in verse 20. Now in the morning, now Jesus must have felt a bit better, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the victory which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, and is cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That's quite strong, isn't it? I'll read it again. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have, read it with me, whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And, now my Bible, although it's the next paragraph, and they put the and with the capital A, although my English is not so good, you never start a sentence with and. Isn't that right? Yeah. My grammar's not that good. My wife has to help me all the time when I write a letter. It's quite sad for her, because my Dutch is also not so good, and nor is my English. But between the two of them, I manage. But so he is teaching on prayer. But in the same sentence, we would say in the same breath, he would say and would say and. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So there's a flow that is very on top of each other, little snippets of what could be doctrinal, which could be prophetic, which could have deep teaching. And when you look at the different theologians, they will give you lots of things to think about the victory, about why he cleansed the temple, and I've heard sermons on it. But if you think about it, that victory just was not having fruit. And some said, oh no, it's about Israel. It's all about Israel, because that's the tree from Israel, and Israel that must have fruit. But you see, I don't think that Israel is cursed to the root. So I don't think it was Israel. I think Israel is blessed. I think Israel is going to come back. I believe we have to pray for Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem. I don't think this story is about Israel. Now, I hope I have make no enemies, but I don't think so. But then somebody else said, "Oh no, it's about that Jesus was hungry, and we must immediately come in line with whatever Jesus wants, and that victory didn't come in line with Jesus. Should have had fruit, and also it had leaves, and if there's leaves, there should have been some fruit, and so there was pretense going on and all that." I don't believe any of it. I think that Jesus was teaching the disciples about faith. That's what I think. I think he taught them about answered prayer and the power potential in your mouth. The power potential of your faith. The Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. With your heart you believe, and with your mouth you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you translate it from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. From a child of disobedience to a child of obedience, because you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. And the principle here is that Jesus says, listen, I want you to understand there is such potential within you to use the mouth of prayer, to use the faith prayer, to use prayer corporately and individually, that you can change your circumstance. You can change your circumstance. You can change your country. You can change your life. I mean, Jonah changed by the power of God. Begrudgingly, he changed Jericho. Nineveh, beg your pardon, Nineveh. But Joshua, by obeying God, changed Jericho. I got it right now, praise God. Don't get them confused. And Noah, by faith, saved a generation for those who wanted to be saved. And Abram was able, by faith, together with his wife, to conceive a son. And each one are faith stories. And each one have deep truths. I'm here to tell you today that God loves you, that Jesus has given you life, and he wants you to use the kingdom life within you, because you carry resurrection life. You see, my friend, the Lord Jesus himself, the Bible says, was hanged on a tree. The Bible says, cursed is he who hangs on a tree. And although the tree was cursed, the tree came back by resurrection power. And there was fruit on the Calvary's tree. You are the fruit. I am the fruit. Supernatural fruit. Because the devils in hell thought that this cross and this shame and this curse had made an end of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for 3 days they danced around the demon fires. For 3 days they said, yeah, blast, blast, he's dead at last. Because they wouldn't say hallelujah. Blast, blast, he's dead at last. But then on the third day, the Bible says, he rose again unto glory, hallelujah. Come on, he rose from the dead. He overcame the devil. He took the keys of death out of his hand. And he came up and for 50 days showed himself to over 500 people. Hallelujah. Come on, say hallelujah. This is your turn. Hallelujah. He is risen from the dead. And we believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this, that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead now dwells in our mortal bodies. Our mortal bodies have something of the resurrection power within us. And although the tree was withered, and although it was cursed to the roots, that may have been a picture of Jesus, but it never worked. Hallelujah. Because he came back with power and glory. And so he goes into the temple. And in the temple, and I read you some facts which I didn't know. I heard it just the other day. But apparently, when they were in the temple, there was many people who came together to celebrate the living God of Israel in this temple that was built. It was Solomon's temple. It was a big place. It's estimated that 250,000 people were in this temple at that day. And that those people came, some of them with a genuine heart, we believe, to bring offerings of doves, of lamb. What was the custom and the religion and the believer that day and age. And obviously the priesthood had to make arrangements for them to get the right doves and the right people. And the priest must have probably allocated it to some people who in the beginning may have been very honest and may have been very humble and may have been very nice. But over the years, the prophet was taken a bit higher. Over the years, as far as Jesus was concerned, had changed into a den of thieves. Serving in the temple, called thieves. Serving in the temple, but called thieves. Doing the right thing at the right time. I don't know about you, if you've had the book stalls and you've had the food bank and you've had all the things in your church and there's nothing wrong with them at all. It's wonderful, but all motivation of the heart. Motivation of the heart. Keep it pure. Keep it holy, because it's not for selfish profit. Not just about money, but not about pride either. And the Lord help us that when we serve the Lord on a long time and the church get a bit bigger and we get a bit more successful and we get a bit happier, that we keep a pure motivation and that we don't fall in the category of these precious people in the temple. Jesus cleansed them. He even physically stopped some of them to go through it. I can't quite imagine that, to be quite honest. That's what I'm saying. It's all a bit strange scriptures. I don't understand all of this. How could Jesus get physical active and say, no, no further, you don't come here. Hop, I tipped the tables up. You know, that wasn't at all. But there was a passion about Jesus. There was a passion about the Father's house. How is your passion about the Father's house? He had a great passion. He was determined to get it right. He was going to stop that which wasn't right. He was going to just do something about it. There was a passion, a determination. He just saw that this house of God, which was to be a house of prayer, and prayer can change a nation. He saw it wasn't going to happen. Potential was blocked by pride. Potential was blocked by religion. Potential was blocked by impure hearts. It would never do anything unless they go back on their hands and knees and pray. And then the house of the Father will be a house of prayer. And a house of prayer will change the nation. Amen. May God help us that in Great Britain we have houses of prayer, where we genuinely seek the Lord and use that what God has given us in worship and adoration and magnification and glorifying him, to pray for houses to bring forth life in the community. So there he is. Now he's teaching about this tree. in the middle of it all, he stops and now he's talking how this tree is a sample. He says, listen, and I'm reading it here for you because I wrote it down somewhere else. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. You are created in the image of God. As somebody put it the other day, you're not a God, but you have his abilities. You have his nature. You have his way of doing things right on the inside of you. And when you became a new creature, you're ready to go. Because as a sinner creature, you had still quite some power. Let's be honest. There's a lot of people out there who have big businesses, great factories, great talent, but they have no Jesus. And so it will all come to an end. It will all come to an end, a sad end. But if you are born again, spirit-filled, pure heart, good motivation, God wants to use you for the glory of God. And then you can truly be strong and mighty in him. Have faith in God. Start to act like your father acted. When he created heaven and earth, he spoke the world into existence. He says, let there be light. That's what he said. And the Holy Spirit hovered and he said, let there be a sun and a moon. He created those things which are by things that are not. And he made things visible which were invisible. And you and I have the same power within us. It started when we said, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then you be a child of God. No longer a child of the devil, not a child of disobedience, but a child of God. And now Jesus goes on. He said, now listen, have the God kind of faith. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Oh, my son has got a new job. Oh, he's so proud. He's got a new job. He's working for the marketing department or business for the London University in London. Started on Thursday. Very happy. I'm happy too. It's wonderful. He's got his new little house. He pays £600 for one room. £600 for one room. It's got a toilet and a bath. Praise God. Shared. He shares the bathroom, shares the kitchen. But praise God, he's went to university and he's doing good from that perspective. But my wife and I, we know that the earthly things that are good doesn't automatically mean the heavenly things are good. And so we have to see at things and start to pray into it and say, no, in the name of Jesus, our son is blessed, not just in the natural, but in the spiritual. His eyes are going to be opened. That mountain of darkness is going to be removed. And we have to speak to the mountain of blackness. We have to speak to the mountain of despair. And you may have sickness in the family. You may have poverty in the family. You may have neighbors that you know that don't know Jesus. You may have a burden for this area. And this is a beautiful area. I've driven around it quite a few times. You may not know this. I came here when you had your social one, and and I was a bit early, so I walked around. Then I missed everything because you started earlier. And so I walked around here. I walked around. I prayed for these people. I thought, you know, this is a lovely area to build a church, to plant a church. And we can pray and God can bring people in because these precious people need you. They need you. But they need a prayer that is filled with faith. And faith works in the heart and faith works with your mouth. And so it says there, whoever says to this lovely area, Chapel House, is that the area? Whoever says to this Chapel House, be open for the gospel and does not doubt it in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Someone say hallelujah or amen or ouch or something. Something, let's say something. You understand? There is a living faith in Jesus that will sanctify you. But sanctification without manifestation of your faith is not good enough. If I'm saved as a father and I go to heaven and the Lord says, oh, you're a good father and oh, you're such a good boy, that's not good enough for me. I have 5 children. I have 4 grandchildren. I have son-in-laws and son-in-graces. And you know what I'm saying? There's people that have to come with me. I have to exercise my God-given faith. The Bible says every man has been given a measure of faith. And you must exercise that measure. You must use that measure by faith and prayer. I read it again. Have the God kind of faith. Whoever. Somebody say whoever. So it includes you. It includes you. Speaks to this mountain, this obstacle, this barrier, this ailment, this hole in the wall, this broken community, this precious family that need Jesus next door. You say, but we need to have a program. Yes, you will have a program, but it will come. You say, but I'm too old, or I'm too young. No, 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 no. Jesus in you is sufficient. It's nothing to do with age. It's nothing to do with race. It's nothing to do who you are or what you are. As long as you love Jesus, you can speak forth the blessing of the Lord on this community. You can speak forth prophetic declarations on this community. And God will bring a change. I loved it, my brother. He was able to move on the road of Emmaus, and he was able to meet up with Saul. Hallelujah. If it's gentle or powerful, it's the Lord's problem. But we say, Lord, there's going to be an encounter for these people. In the name of Jesus, God, an encounter for that boy, an encounter for that girl, an encounter for that old lady who can hardly see, who can hardly walk, an encounter for that neighbor of mine, and his dog is doing it on my grass, but I won't get cross with the dog any longer. I will bless the dog, bless the neighbors, and I see them saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's rise up in faith. Come on, there we go. Whoever says to this situation, this barrier, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Now, each one of us carries a measure of faith. Each one of us carries a measure of doubt. And I've learned over the years, I don't have to be fearful for doubt. I must just recognize it. And that set me free. Because doubt comes to all of us. Don't you go to bed sometimes full of doubts? Well, you just say, hello, doubt out. Doubt out. And you believe your beliefs and you doubt your doubts. And you get the word of God out and you say what? In the name of Jesus, I'm crucified with him. I'm forgiven. There's no condemnation that which are in Christ Jesus. Where two agree as touching anything, my Father which is in heaven, he will do it. Come in agreement together. This is a blessed community. It's a saved community. The children are going to get saved. The boys and girls are going to say, maybe the music will change. Maybe the coffee will change. Everybody has quality coffee these days. Do you know that? You know, you have to, and you pay for it too. You know, they make you pay £3 for a cuppa. I mean, have you ever heard something like that? Think about it 20 years ago. You must be joking. Yeah? But everybody does it. As a matter of fact, we now say, can we meet for coffee? You know, which I think is a great pity. We should meet for cake. But that's another story. Isn't that true? Everybody wants to meet for coffee. The tea drinkers, I don't know. They still got it. I don't know. Some have still tea. But the generation is changing. But if they have coffee or tea or Coke, Coca-Cola that is, it doesn't make any difference. God can teach them. God can touch them when your faith gets strong. So doubt your doubts. Deal with your doubts. We all have doubts. And start to laugh about it. And even share with yourself. Have you got doubts? Yes, I have. What do you do? I have a good laugh. Because doubts are doubts. Yeah. Doubt out. Get the word in. Yeah. Get the scripture in. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. My God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. By his stripes, I am healed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm the head and not the till. Praise God. My storehouses are running over. My enemies flee seven ways. Hallelujah. And so you get the word of God in. Now in the beginning, the word be in the mind. But if you say it long enough, it will start to sink in your heart. Hallelujah. And then it become a revelation. Listen to me, child, church. A revelation means that you know, that you know, that you know. And no devil in hell can rob the revelation of your heart. You've dealt with doubt. You've spoken the word. You've confessed the word. You've meditated on the word day and night. You've sung the word. You've read about the word. It comes from your mind into your heart. It becomes the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you get your shield of faith. And every fiery dart can be stopped because you're dealing with your doubts. Say to your neighbor, deal with your doubts. Laugh at them. Just like that. Nyeh, 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 nyeh. Okay. Go. I'm nearly through. And does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done. I had a problem with that. I tell you why. Number one, I'm very creative. I have lots of thoughts and I can talk a lot. But just because you talk a lot doesn't mean it's a God talk. So I realized the more of the Bible was in my mouth, the better it is. So that out of you comes a well of living water. So when it says whatever he says, I have learned to bring a lot of scripture in my mouth. And so I try to sing the scriptures, speak the scriptures. And when I pray, I try to pray the scriptures. So I would pray for this community. Father God, I thank you. It's not the will of God that any should perish. Hallelujah. And because it's not the will of God that any should perish, God so loved the world that he died for this community. And so in the name of Jesus, I declare, community, come to life. Your boys and girls, see Jesus. Men and women, see Jesus. And so I take scripture after scripture and I find that my faith grows and doubt goes. So whatever he says, say the scripture. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. The other Bible says, Matthew 18, believe that you receive when you pray. And that comes that there is a time to ask, a time to receive, that you become pregnant with the answer. Somehow on the inside, you know, the word has conceived a revelation. And you know, you stop asking, but you start to be thanking God. No begging anymore. I remember the day as if it was yesterday. It was my day off on Monday. I was very traditional, legalistic. Monday is my day off. I don't do anything. So it was in Nelson, Lancashire. We've been there for 10 months. No, longer, shorter. 5 months, 6 months. And a lady, you know, you have those ladies who have visions and you think, oh, I wish she hadn't had that vision. Ever had that? It was a lady in church, had a vision, and she saw the church come down from heaven. This was the building, the new building. Oh, I see a building come down from heaven. I said, oh no, there we go, another crankpot. Oh, Lord, please, sorry. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, come on, believe it, 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 believe it. I started to believe. And my faith went strong. And I used to go to the churches to get the prayer meeting. And we used to greet one another. And the pastor vicar would say, hello, Bert, how are you? And I would say, I'm very well, I'm pregnant. He says, what? I said, I'm pregnant. Excuse me? I said, yes, I'm pregnant with a building. I've received it in my spirit man. My spirit man has seen it. Well, the confession was right, but the place to confess it in may not have been very wise. I could have better keep my mouth shut, I think. But anyway, I did. But the short story is that one day, on my day off, God called me to a building that we were trying to buy, and the Holy Spirit said to me, something's going to happen. Make a long story short, we got a building within 7 months. And the Lord did a miracle because we believe that we receive when we pray. You have to come to a place that you have the Word of God in your prayer. It sinks into your heart. It becomes a revelation. And you start to thank God for it. Say, hallelujah. Let's get together and thank God for those 10 people that are going to get saved in 2017. Or those 20 new people that are going to come to this church. And praise God. We just thank you for it. And together you have faith and you prophesy it and speak it into existence. Because the Spirit of the living Jesus is right inside of you. Isn't it wonderful? There's a power of prayer. A power of prayer that releases miracles that can change your situation. Remember, Jesus spoke to a victory. What was he saying? You can speak to any circumstance. You can speak to anything. Because he will move it with the name of Jesus. The Bible says, ask and seek and knock and it shall be opened to you. And then right at the end he says, make sure you forgive one another. Mm. Oh, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you are blocking the door of blessing. The door of blessing is blocked. And I've learned over the years that people, they say they're forgiven, but there's still this little a little anger about it, a little crossness about it, a little something, you know, they haven't forgiven from the heart. And if there's unforgiveness in our hearts, he can't answer our prayer. What is worse? What is worse? If you don't forgive, he can't forgive you. Oh, am I here to tell you, you must forgive. I say it lovingly, I say it kindly, I say it sensitively, but I say it boldly, you must forgive. I don't know if you've been fighting over the inheritance of your neighbor. I don't know if you've been fighting over the cat at the dock. Or you've fallen out with your eldest brother and you don't talk to him anymore. And she doesn't talk to you anymore. That has to stop. it has to stop. You may be cross with this church because they sing it a bit faster than what you do, or they have the hip hop, you know, they all go up and down, and I rather like that, but I could appreciate it. Not everybody does. I appreciate it. I'm not a kangaroo, but hey, I don't mind hopping. But whatever it is, something has made you cross and you received unforgiveness in your heart, you first have to deal with that. So let's recap, and then we're going to pray. First of all, God loves you. Amen? He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. And the Bible says that when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you are saved. And then Jesus, on a set of circumstances, speaks to a victory, and it cursed. But then He teaches the disciples, listen, disciples, you have the power of faith in you, and you can move mountains. He shows the house of God is a house of prayer. And we sometimes forget, accidentally, not on purpose, but sometimes we forget, we're here to pray for the community. We're here to pray for the Queen. We're here to pray for the Prime Minister. And if she's called Mrs. May or Mrs. April, makes no difference. If she's Conservative or Labour or the Idol Party, makes no difference. Amen? We have to pray for them. And we have to forgive them. Oh, I've been in Scotland once and I mentioned the wrong name. Have you ever been in Scotland and mentioned the wrong name? Oh my gosh. I somehow said Mrs. Thatcher and oh, the guns came out. Pa, 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 pa. There was unforgiveness in the house. Friends, if it's politicians, sport, churches, the person next door, the cat next door, forgiveness must live in our life. Oh, the Lord help us. Hallelujah. Let's just stand. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the cross. We've broken the bread. We've given thanks for his precious blood, his body that was broken for us. And Father, we know that after the cross came the resurrection. We've given our hearts to Jesus. But now we're on a journey. And we want to make sure we forgive. We forgive. We have no anger against anybody. Anything against anybody. No matter how small. No matter how big. Father, we just know that we must forgive. And so I pray for everyone here this afternoon. Let your forgiveness be quick. Oh, let it be quick. And then, Father, I release a new faith. We can believe that mountains can move, Father. As we meditate on the Word of God day and night, as we have the motivation in our heart to make God's house a house of prayer, we have that pure motivation, and we take the Word of God and start to believe that we receive when we pray. God changes things. And Father, I pray for this precious, precious people. I've seen their joy. I've heard their love about Jesus. I've heard the precious worship. And Lord, we know that where the brethren dwell together in unity, He brings blessing. And there's unity in this house, Father. I can feel it. It's wonderful. There's love in this house. It's wonderful. And now, Father, we stand together and say, Father, have mercy on the community. Have mercy on the boys and girls. Have mercy on the single mom, Father. Have mercy on the drug addict. Have mercy on those who are captive by alcohol or whatever it is, Father. In the name of Jesus, we proclaim their deliverance. We proclaim their healing. We proclaim their salvation, Father, in the name of Jesus, make us rise up like the army of God, kings and priests, Father, kings and priests, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.